This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, 1 Kings chapter 22. If you would open your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 22. Last chapter in 1 Kings. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, and a void placed in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the sword by the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. All right, now go over to verse 23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying, this is the God's prophet speaking, had put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin. Our Father, again, we are so thankful to not only read your word, but to possess it. And to not only possess a copy, but probably multiple copies. We think of all the ages where this book was banned and people were killed for having it or printing it. And here we are with it on our laps. We read it. We study it. We meditate on it. And Father, we are so grateful for that. I pray that you'd use what we read tonight to bring about any issues that might hit us exactly where we are, both spiritually and, if need be, physically. And that we might agree with what your word says in either doctrine or practice, the direction we ought to be going if we're not already going that direction. I just ask that you work through the word that goes forth, that it would be honoring to you, and that we would benefit and be able to produce more fruit as a result of being here. For we ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Now, obviously, I'm going to be speaking to we who are saved. Hopefully that includes all of you, but if not, then my prayer also is that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of your heart, convict you of your need to be saved, and that you would come to Christ as your Savior before this service is over. Now, as far as the background goes, you notice whenever somebody leaves Jerusalem, you always go up to Jerusalem, but you always go down from anywhere else. It's really an interesting wording of that. Well, King Jehoshaphat of Judah goes to the wicked king Ahab, and it says he went down, but we know he went north. And our thinking was, it says, why didn't it say up? Because everything is in relationship to Jerusalem, spiritually speaking as well. And so he goes to Ahab to secure the king's blessing, or God's blessing, in his endeavor for victory as he wanted to go to battle for Syria. 3 years of peace, no war, and so these guys decide, let's go to war. I mean, Syria's got one of our cities, let's go. And so the question was, should he go or should he forbear? Should he not go? And Ahab gathers his false prophets. And remember in chapter 18, there were the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 false prophets. And they all were there before Elijah. And then after Elijah did call on the Lord and brought down fire on the sacrifice, it was all wet. They killed the 450 prophets of Baal. But these four other prophets are still on the scene, these false prophets. So he calls them, and their answer was, go. God will deliver them into your hands. So I look and I say, okay, go tempt God and claim the victory. Essentially is what they were saying. It's like this is a little division of the name it and claim it people. You make up what you want to do, and then you agree with other people, and then you claim it. And then God has to do it. Well, they were going to find out it didn't work that way. So Jehoshaphat remains conscious, and praise the Lord that he did. 400 prophets all saying the exact same thing. Who ever heard of that? Surely there must be a prophet of the Lord somewhere here. And of course, we saw in verse 8 there was, and he was a hated man, and Ahab didn't think it was a good idea because he prophesied evil against Ahab. Well, I wonder if we had the opportunity to give forth God's word, and we were dealing with a leader that was very strong, two leaders that were very strong. One of them was evil. The other one was good. If we would say smooth, wonderful things to the one that was evil, because we're afraid of him, there's no fear here. Even though it can cost you your life, he took on Ahab all the time. Things were going bad for Israel, and there was a reason things were going bad, because they had abandoned the Lord, and they weren't obeying him, they weren't living for him. And so really the true prophet's message was, you know, you need to change your ways. You need to come back to the Lord and to depend on him and to trust him. And he was probably one of the most avoided prophets in all of Israel. Now, in a very real sense, though, Ahab would not agree with this. Ahab was not interested in making himself better, or if I shorten it to he wasn't interested in getting better when he went to the prophets or to the prophet here. He merely wanted to feel better. There's a vast difference, so that he could have confirmation of what he wanted to do, his ideas. even if it was apart from God's standards and God's word. In other words, he was not interested in he getting right with God and therefore better. He just wanted to feel better about what he wanted to do apart from God's word or God's standards, which begs up the question with a very broad range. Do we as a people just want to feel better, or do we want to get better? Because there's quite a disparity between the two, whether with regard to the spiritual or the physical. Say, well, you're here to talk about the spiritual. Well, a lot of times one has a lot to do with the other. I remember the Baptist preacher in England that was feeling sick, and he went to the doctor, he checked him out, said, I can't find anything wrong with you. And so he said, okay, went back, served the Lord some more, thing wouldn't go away. He went back and said, I know that I've got something wrong with me. And he checked him, and he said, nope. He said, it's not physical. It's spiritual. And the spiritual is causing the physical. And he said, you just need to go home. You need to get before the Lord. You need to make things right and see what happens. And if you're still that way, then you come back and we'll check out another avenue. Well, I agree that many times if you're sick spiritually, many times it transcends right into the physical. Many people that are sick physically have spiritual problems that caused it. Now, I'm not the expert on that. I'm just saying that's what I think it is going on in many cases. So which is important to you, more important? Actual victory or just the feel of victory? You can watch a ball game, any kind of ball game, and see somebody be victorious. Did you experience the victory? No, you experienced the feel of the victory. They experienced the victory. But which is more important to us, the actual victory or the feel of it? Would you prefer being told that you're okay with the Lord when you're not? Because there's many people that would. Many won't go to a church to get better spiritually. I think of the many people that have this Joel Osteen syndrome. And I call it a syndrome. I wonder where he gets his information from, the Bible or the astrology. Because all he does is tell stories. And it is smooth stories. And people sit there and they develop this syndrome, 30,000 of them sitting there smiling and boing, boing, boing. And they have no control of their neck. The muscles have just gone. And they're so happy to hear these stories that have no bearing on the truth of Scripture. But they're there, I think they're there to feel better. And many people go to churches to feel better. Not get better, but feel better. Would you prefer being told that you are okay physically, when in fact you're not? Now, some of that goes outside of my realm, obviously, but again, they're so closely tied together, and we're so prone to not address issues head on and not face the facts of many things that are going on in life. So this has to do with either feeling better or getting better. And the first thing that I want you to look at is here in Revelation chapter 3. And really, I'm putting the emphasis on getting better as opposed to feeling better. And my first point here is to get better. In order to get better, you must realize that you need to. You just have to address, this isn't working. Whatever I'm doing is not working. All right, if we go to Revelation 3, the last church is the church at Laodicea. This is the lukewarm church. This is the church that God wants to vomit out of his mouth. because they're neither hot nor cold. This is the person that can sit and be totally unfazed by anything and everything. As though you're not here and I'm not here. And so he says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church at Laodicea they did not see the need to get better. They felt that they were better. And it says there, yeah, this is what I say about me, but what did God say about them? It wasn't anything like that. So when we think about realizing that we have a need, I wonder if there's any pain involved in our lives. And to what level that pain exists. And when Linda was in the hospital down there in Melbourne, and I've seen this in practically all the hospitals, they have a little board up there and it has your pain level and all these little faces on there, you know, from 1 to 10 and so forth, as though that has some bearing. And if you, to me, it should be, there is a small amount of pain, there's a moderate amount of pain, and there's an acute amount of pain. These 10 levels, I mean, you got so many options. Sometimes they're not going to prescribe something for you unless you're acute. And then it's too late. But physically speaking, now, as we age, we all get pain. But what level is that pain? Do we address that? Spiritually speaking, is there any conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Any conviction through Scripture? Do we read this? Do we hear what we hear? And is there any conviction whatsoever? Or are we just here to satisfy ourselves and feel better about ourselves? Do you want Bible preaching and teaching, or do you want these smooth drippings of sugar and sweetness that just makes you feel better about yourself spiritually? What power do we manifest? Oftentimes when there's an infirmity, you have to take a stress test medically. Have you ever taken a spiritual stress test? Have you ever sat down and with the intent, Lord, speak to my heart and show me where I am spiritually? And not stopped because something crossed your path that you did not like, but just kept going. What do they show you? Well, you should examine yourself from the Word of God. You should allow yourself to be examined physically as to what's going on. All of these things are important. Some people, they just don't want to do it. Do you recognize weaknesses? I'm not getting into psychology here. Do you recognize weaknesses in not only yourself physically, but in your life spiritually? Where it's so easy to not read, not study, not pray, not be faithful, not be committed to anything. It's so much easier to do that. I mean, if we're going to let the Word examine us, then we need to come before the Lord. And are we concerned about what the results are at all? Are we a people that work for the Lord? Are we a people that work together for the Lord? Are we committed to the Lord? Are we consistent in that work within our local church? All of these things are questions that we can address from God's Word as He speaks to us through that Word. And we come to the place of perception. For the longest time, Linda and I had our eyes were exactly the same. We would go to the doctor, and he would give us these eye tests. And he says, I don't believe this. He says, your eyes are exactly the same. Over the last few years, they've started to change a little bit. But you go there so that you can be able to see, right? Well, what about another eye test? The letter I. In other words, a self-test. So that we can see the truths here from God's Word, and we can gain, if we don't have this, a vision for those people who are lost and dying and going to hell. What about our hearing? Our listening? Are we hearing and grasping truth from God's Word, from the Scripture? Are we judging righteous judgment? I mean, all of these things are in order to see us have a certain need. And we can't do anything if we don't see that need. Nothing will happen. We'll make no movement whatsoever. We're satisfied with going through the motions of just being people that walk in, sit down, sing songs, turn pages. Some of you don't even turn pages. And then get up and go out and go back to doing what you did before you came in here. And we're satisfied to that. And there's no desire to get better. But there is a desire many times to feel better. Because we don't like not feeling better about ourselves. So, number one, you have to know the need. Number two, to get better, you have to seek a doctor. John chapter 5. And let's look here in verse John chapter 5, 38, 39, and then 40. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now I said to seek a doctor. There are people that don't seek doctors, physically speaking, nor spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about a novice, but somebody that's experienced. You don't go to a performer or an entertainer to find out about your physical life, and neither do you do that to find out about your spiritual life, but somebody that is truthful and straightforward, that will tell you like it is. It's important. The first time that I had this bump behind my ear, back when I was in graduate school, and I went to the doctor, and he said, I think I'll just take a biopsy of that. And I came back, and it wasn't a skin doctor or anything. It was just our family practice. And I came back, and he said, well, just wanted to let you know it's cancer. That word was like an explosion in my ears. Cancer? What? You know, I'm only in my 30s. Cancer? Are you kidding me? Cancer? You know, and of course they took it out. It wasn't very deep. It wasn't very serious. But it was just, it took me by surprise. But what if he said, well, you know what? It could be just a sweat bump. I don't think we need to take a biopsy. Let's just let it go and see what happens to it. And the next thing you know, that thing can get deeper. Now, I'd rather have somebody say, all right, let's be safe. We'll take a biopsy and we'll take care of that. In Luke chapter 5. And let's look here in verse 31. Well, verse 30 sets up the situation, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, you know, that's true physically and spiritually. If you're in good health, other than a checkup and so forth, you don't need a doctor necessarily. And if you're of the opinion that you don't need a doctor spiritually, you're not going to seek out any advice. You're not going to seek out any counsel. You're not going to seek out anything because you think that you are in good standing. And hopefully you may be. But there's other situations. Go back to the book of Job here, if you would. Job chapter 13. Now Job had three friends. I doubt seriously that any of them were doctors in the medical sense. But they all had something to say to him. And Job chapter 13. And if you know the story with his three friends, did any of them really help him? They wanted to help him. I'm grateful for having friends that, if I had friends like he had, that came and saw how grieved he was, how sick he was, and sat down and didn't say a word for an entire week. Just sat there 7 days, just to be there. Didn't have to give. But then when they started talking, then it kind of went downhill. But he says to his friends here in chapter 13, verse 4, "But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value." There's a lot of people like that. Spiritually speaking, many times physically speaking, if I don't give out the word, what value am I? What help am I? If I compromise the word, if I hedge on the word, of what value am I to you? What value are you to anybody else? The same thing in dealing with physical issues. What value is it if you're not going to level with somebody in order to help them in any way that you can? You need to seek a doctor. And who's the great physician, by the way? Lord Jesus Christ. And where is he found? Right here in this book. All right. Psalm 139. And I know we're a long way from Jehoshaphat and Ahab. But in the application of this, I think we're right in line. Because Ahab wanted to feel better. He certainly didn't want to make things right with the Lord. Psalm 139. To get better, you have to submit, in many cases, to an exam. Verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Have you ever prayed that prayer? "Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Know what's in there. Reveal that to me. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see," verse 24, "if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, why would we need to do that? Well, we need to do that because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will tell you. It didn't say, "Search your heart." It says, "Let the Lord search your heart." Because your heart will tell you, "I'm okay. What's the big deal here? Why are you making so much about nothing?" Because that's what our heart does. And I can see things concerning your hearts that you can't see. And you can see concerning my heart things I can't see. Because we don't know our own hearts. We don't know. We have no idea of the capability of the direction we could go under the right circumstances. No idea. Unless we're wise, be many times beyond our years. We need to submit to an exam by the preaching and teaching of Scripture. We have to allow that word to know your heart and your thoughts, and allow the Lord to test you through the preaching and teaching of Scripture. We need to submit to an exam by the work of the Holy Spirit working through the preaching and teaching of the word in you. This is not an exercise in futility. This is not an exercise of mental gymnastics. This is something that has life and death consequences. This is a situation that has blessing and not blessing associated with it. It's not just something you say, well, you know, you've gotten older and older, and you've gotten weirder and weirder. No, this is the Word of God. It never changes. It's ageless. It's deathless. It's forever. And then after you submit to an exam, James chapter 1, to get better, the doctor gives you a prescription, you need to stick to it. I've talked with people over the years. I'm sure a doctor can tell you the same thing with a patient. And he gives out, and I give out, information that oftentimes is just looked upon as worthy of receiving, but never anything beyond worthy of receiving. Okay, that's good advice. Yeah, I should probably do that. And then they don't. But the idea of getting better is taking God at His word. And many times you have to take a doctor at His word, that he knows what he's talking about. We already know God does. And then do what the prescription says. All right, look at verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Why should I be a doer? So that I can get better, so that I can get closer to the Lord. Not feel closer to the Lord, but actually be closer to the Lord. I should not just take this in and become puffed up spiritually, but use the word. Whatever I am spiritually, use what little or moderate or much that you have to give out. But live it and do it. Don't intimate that you are well physically or spiritually when you're not. If somebody says, how are you doing? I'm doing great. And you're not doing great. Why do you say that? Well, I don't want them to get into my life. Why not? Why don't we want that? Why wouldn't we want that? Don't you have anything to offer to me? Don't I have anything to offer to you? Linda and I were walking down in a mall down in Hollywood, and the boss, the terminal manager of the trucking company both of us worked at, was walking the other direction. And we knew this guy had no idea about his employees and didn't care very much to know anything about them. That's a sad state, to not want to know about the people you're working with or you're working for you. And so he was coming with the one direction, and he said, hey, how are you guys doing? And I said, awful. I said, just miserable. Well, that's great. Have a great day. He just kept right on walking. Do you think he heard a word I said? No. Not at all. Not at all. So, and don't intimate things are okay when they're not. We're here to be of help to one another. We're here for the Lord to be of help to each one of us. And don't quit. Things of great value aren't like fast foods. They're not, you know, where everything is instant today. Things of value, like here, hidden treasure. They're worth digging for. They're worth having, because by that you get better and you get closer to the Lord. Fast foods generally aren't going to help you anyway. And praise God for the progress that you make. And realize that there's no end to the progress. You never arrive. We'll never get to the place where our bodies are incorruptible here on this earth, and all the functions of the bodies aren't going to break down. We got a call from a friend. I knew him from the roofing days. He was a believer. Good man, had four or five boys. He moved up to Georgia, and then he moved to North Carolina. He had some sickness in and out. Got a call from a nurse and said, she said, as we speak, he's dying. He won't live until tomorrow. And so we're talking about, you know, a man that I knew, that I was friends with, and that he's dying. And I told Linda, we're all dying. Every one of us are dying. Just not to the effect that he is or was. I think he died last night. But, you know, praise the Lord for the progress we do make. Now, it's not New Year's. But you can make some, you can resolve to do certain things. You can predetermine. That's what predetermined really is. It's what resolve is. You can predetermine to do the right thing to get better rather than be satisfied with just feeling better. Amen? Yes. Most of the feeling better is deceptive. But it's comfortable. And it allows us to put off, procrastinate what we should take care of. And we don't do it. And you do it long enough, and everything comes back on you. And this is where it leads. Go to the book of Romans chapter 1. In the spiritual sense, this is where we get to. Let's say you profess to be saved. And so you're taken at your word, but the spiritual progress is nil, if anything. Or there's some progress, and then it stops, and then it goes backwards. It doesn't, you know, I'm not saying the issue is whether you're saved or not. I'm just saying as a professing Christian. So that, look here in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, there's a progression here. I'll try not to read through the whole thing. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Well, let's start off with the creation. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to say, no, I can't hold to creation. I'm going to hold to evolution. At the bare minimum, this theistic evolution. I've got to hold to that. Well, you're in violation of the word of God already. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can't say, well, look, I grew up in a government school and all I heard was that, and I read all these textbooks and I went to all these videos and I saw all these films and I read all these books, and they were all talking about millions and tens of millions of years, and all of it's lies. And you're without excuse because nature teaches you creation. You don't need me. You don't need the book here. You don't need anything. God in nature teaches you. And he created it. Until some fool comes along and tries to take it away from you. Because that, when they knew God, now again, this is not salvation. They knew about him. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So here's the observation of the truth, unrecognized. Rejected. And what happens? Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But God doesn't stop there. See, here's the problem with the difference between sowing and reaping. And many times you say, all right, you're gonna reap what you sow. Many times you reap more than what you sowed. And you didn't plan on that. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. All right, so it goes even further. We're living in this day, this town next to us. Living proof of God giving them up. And again, God is still not through. Verse 28. And even as they did not like, they didn't like to retain this knowledge. They didn't want this knowledge. God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do you think in the beginning when you decided that you professed Christ as Savior, but you didn't want all this, that it would ever arrive at that point? No. Who would ever have thought that? But you weren't interested in getting better. You weren't interested in growing. You weren't interested in drawing closer to the Lord. You were just interested in feeling good. All right, now watch what happens. To do those things which are not convenient. And then we have a list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and then the solution, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, when you become a reprobate, there's no turning back. You can turn back in verse 26. You can turn back in verse 24. But if you're concentrating on feeling better, you're going to go right into verse 28. And from verse 28, it's a dead-end road. And there is no turning back. You're useless. You have become totally useless. And in verse 28, as it starts, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know who that's speaking about? People who would rather feel better than get better. Now, where are we in this picture? There was a prophet, a man of God, in the northern 10 tribes, and he told the truth. And he told what God said. And the king of the north, in the northern 10 tribes, Ahab, hated him. And the 400 prophets, the false prophets, told the king exactly what he wanted to hear. And he felt so good. But not this prophet. He told him what he needed to hear. That's what we need to be a people like that. Not lord it over people, not be contentious. But give it out because this should be a place of coming and meeting with the Lord and having Him work on our hearts, on our minds, our thoughts, on every part of us. And there's none of us that are exempt from anything that I've said here. So where are we tonight? Do we want to feel better? Is that our chief concern, to feel better? And not get better. And let's make the broad range broad. Not only spiritually, but physically. We're just content. We've given up. And we just don't want to get better. Well, isn't that kind of suicidal? I think so. I mean, I don't particularly want to die. When the cancer was diagnosed in me, I didn't particularly say, oh well, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. I'm going to die one day soon anyway, so why should I bother? You want to give me radiation? You want to do these radioactive seeds? Why should I do that? No, I don't want to. I wanted to get better. And the Lord honored that. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. I'm not content where I am spiritually. I don't know that I ever will be. And I do want to get better. I don't want to feel better. I want to just walk around and feel good about myself because my heart is deceptive. And next thing you know, I'll be going down a wrong trail and taking a wrong road like anybody else will. None of us are exempt from that. Let the Lord try your heart tonight. Why don't we pray? Why don't you pray? Lord, search my heart and try me. Test me. Let's pray. Father, we come before thee tonight. Hopefully as your children through faith in Christ. As a people in need. We live in a society of feeling good, feeling better. Without addressing the reality of where we are. It would be nice, Father, if we came to the place and said, this has got to stop. I need to get better. I need to draw closer to thee. Whatever you're saying to us tonight, I just pray that it has not fallen on deaf ears, on hardened hearts, on people that have rejected your solution, your answer. They did not like to retain you in their knowledge because the results are not good. So I pray that you'd speak to every heart. If there's someone here without Christ, may they understand hell is a long time. It's without end. And people are going there every single day because they've been told in some church to just feel good about yourself. They've been told stories after stories after stories of happy endings and good-natured stories that have no basis on eternity whatsoever. And we pray that you'd have your way here now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.